good evening and welcome to The Late Debate. I'm Katie Hannan, and joining me tonight in studio I have Jack Chambers, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin West and party spokesperson on Defence, Communications, Environment and Natural Resources, Bernard Durkin, Fine Gael TD for Kildare North, Nasa Horrigan, Green Party TD for Dublin Central, party spokesperson on Finance and Chair of the Policy Council, Dáithí Doolan, Sinn Féin councillor on Dublin City Council, and Daniel McConnell, political editor with The Irish Examiner. We do want to hear from you, so do get in touch. You can text us on 51551, email latedebate at rte.ie or tweet to at latedebaterte, hashtag RTELD. Now, the slow march towards the formation of a new government continued today. The Sinn Féin Parliamentary Party met this morning, all 37 of them. Here's Party President Mary Lou MacDonald's analysis of where things stood at that point.
My first and our first preference was for a government without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. The seats are now filled, and it looks that it would be very, very tricky to construct such a government. We continue to talk to those parties, but as you know, I also wrote to Micheál Martin. I haven't had a response. The question that arises in the midst of all of this is whether or not Fianna Fáil can actually be part of, commit to, that appetite for change and new politics.
And that was Mary Lou MacDonald. Well, then Fianna Fáil, of course, had its marathon parliamentary party meeting today as well. The 38 Fianna Fáil TDs were decidedly cool on the idea of a coalition with Sinn Féin. Here's Micheál Martin speaking after that meeting.
People felt that the economic platform that Sinn Féin put forward in the election was irreconcilable with Fianna Fáil's, and particularly on the enterprise agenda, and also in terms of its financial sustainability. Now, Sinn Féin did say 2 days ago the last party they wanted in government was Fianna Fáil. 2 days later, I get a letter from Sinn Féin.
And that was Micheál Martin. Dáithí Doolan, you're billion with no mates. Fianna Fáil won't have anything to do with you. Fine Gael won't have anything to do with you.
Well, Sinn Féin is committed to being central to a government for change. We went into this election with very positively with a platform for change, for economic development, housing, childcare, tackling climate change. We came out of the election with a massive mandate. We're now the largest party in the island, and we won the popular vote on Saturday. I just want to thank each and every one of those voters who put their trust in us. We want to work with parties. We're committed to open dialogue and engagement. And
but
yes,
that's
our
all
preferred option is without Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But I mean, we've been through similar situations north of the border when people who once claimed they wouldn't work with us now are in partnership with us. So we go in with the same spirit of engagement and reconciliation. We want a government. We want to be in government north and south of the border. We've never shied away from that. But the thing is, will other parties, including Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, shy away from us in an attempt to hog the power in Leinster House and to deny the people the spirit of change that I saw coming out in the hundreds of thousands in the ballot box on Sundays? I'm sure my people to the right of me here, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, saw that as well. And I would hope that the Green Party will engage positively with us. We met with them. We met with PB For Profit. We met with the Social Democrats. We're meeting with the Independents. It is a difficult number to reach, the 80, but we're open to engagement. But the real question is, are Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael open to engaging in a democratic process that includes Sinn Féin? Other parties...
But they've answered that.
But we would still say there's time for change. We believe in change. This election,
Do you not just believe them at this point? Do you think
I think there's always room to change. And I think if they do withdraw from us and refuse to engage with us, it's untenable. And I think the appetite out there, people will view them very dimly if they refuse to even engage or meet with us. That is untenable. It is unacceptable. And I would make, again, a public appeal to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to engage in a democratic process with us. It's never too late to do it. And I think we need the real commitment is to deliver the housing, the childcare,
okay,
the healthcare.
Okay, so you have made the point.
But that's the underlying. It's not about us. It's about delivering
Sinn
for the people who voted for us.
As we know, are masters of the long political game. And isn't this game working out so perfectly for you?
Well, it's not a game. I beg to differ. We are involved in politics to bring about change. It's not a game, especially when we're dealing with people on hospital trolleys and housing waiting lists.
If the stand holds you end up in opposition, you can grow the party, the base again, stoke the anger of the masses who have their desire for change thwarted, or else you get another election and you get to have a bigger slate of candidates.
Let's not patronise.
I know this is not patronise. This is political reality of how it works.
The anger. People, when we started canvassing in January, we knocked on doors and were overwhelmed by the positive appetite for change. And what we want, we're committed to being in government. We didn't go into this election
for one moment. We didn't canvass one front door anywhere in the state.
How did that change?
To be in opposition.
Why
we
did that
want
change?
To be in
because
government.
This is the first time you've been committed to being in government.
No, last no, no.
No, the last time you had a red line, which was we will only go into government if we are the lead party. It was completely, as you know yourself, untenable.
We were open to engagement with all political parties, and they refused to engage with us. And again, this
because
time,
because you had
it's the
a
old
red
politics
no,
of attempting
no,
to exclude Sinn Féin.
Don't ignore the obvious red line that you had there, which shut the door on any possibility, because you said
we
only if you were the lead government.
We were open to
lead party in
to
that
Fianna
government.
Fáil and Fine Gael. Now we've 5 years later, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are shutting the door in our
okay,
faces,
let's talk
and that's
to,
unacceptable. And we certainly won't accept it.
Well, let's talk to them about it. Jack Chambers, you had very long. 4 hours was it that parliamentary party meeting today?
About 4.5 hours. Yeah.
4.5 hours. What was the mood like?
Look. People are disappointed, and we feel for a lot of our colleagues who lost their seats, and that was acknowledged throughout the meeting. It was a difficult weekend for the party, and we had some new colleagues who were there. But obviously, we lost a number of colleagues, and that's difficult for us when you see a lot of new faces who were there in 2016 didn't come back. That wasn't easy for the party.
Was there anger in the room over that?
No, there wasn't anger. I mean, look, we have a collective responsibility about during elections, and I suppose what the party was looking at doing was how we have a pathway forward in the context of the new Dáil arithmetic. We're a very fragmented Dáil at the moment. We're going to have probably 8 different groups, and the people, that's how the people have spoken, and we respect that. We respect the mandate Sinn Féin received, respect the mandate that everybody received. But we wanted to get together. There was a very open discussion about where we move forward from here and how we feel we can play a role in this Dáil to try and bring about the change that I think we all heard very loud and clear in this election.
Okay, you say you respect the mandate of Sinn Féin, but seriously, if you're saying that people who vote for Sinn Féin, they can have their TDs in the Dáil, but those TDs cannot have an opportunity to go into government with you.
Look, that's a matter for Sinn Féin, who they speak to and who's willing to speak to them. We're our own democratic party. We're able to decide who we discuss potential government formation with, and we set out a very clear position to the people who voted for us around Sinn Féin prior to the election.
I appreciate that, and you did, and you today reiterated that position. You will not under any circumstances go into any government arrangement with Sinn Féin. Was there any dissenting voices at today's parliamentary party meeting on that?
Very, very few. The prevailing 95% plus of the party were totally in agreement with the position, and we very much, there was consensus and a unified position after the meeting. I think that was reflected in any public remarks.
And was there an urban-rural divide in terms of what people were
saying?
There's
no divide in Fianna Fáil on this. There's absolute unity of purpose.
And was there any rumblings of discontent with the leadership and how that campaign was managed and run?
Absolutely not. The one thing that was there was 100% support for Micheál Martin and his leadership, and there wasn't anything mentioned.
Nothing
regarding that. No.
Okay, I just want to play a clip of councillors. This is councillor John Paul Feely. He's a councillor on Cavan County Council, Fianna Fáil councillor. Here's what he had to say on Drive Time today. If you want to put on your headphones, there.
We've been roundly defeated as the opposition party. We have no business contemplating forming a government with anyone. We should accept the verdict of the people and go into opposition. Look at where we're going as a party and have a root and branch change in terms of the leadership of the party and in terms of the administration of the party, because clearly having the same team there for so many years is not achieving the type of change and is not convincing people that we have anything to offer electorally.
Now, Jack Chambers, if the parliamentary party may be at idem, or, you know, maybe nobody was brave enough to say it at the parliamentary party meeting today, but there's clearly some rumblings of discontent in the wider Fianna Fáil family, unless you're suggesting John Paul Feely is a complete outlier.
No, look, I respect anyone who's willing to say whatever their beliefs are, and we're a democratic party. I'm just giving you the verdict and the outcome of today's parliamentary party meeting, which is that there's 100% support for Micheál Martin. He's a leader who brought us back from the brink as a party. He led us to an excellent recovery in the local elections, both last year and in 2014, and also rebuilt the party and has put phenomenal work into rebuilding the organisation.
Okay.
And I think he'd make an excellent Taoiseach. So,
okay, well, let's talk about that then.
That view was not reflected in the parliamentary party.
Was
today.
There a discussion then of the possible routes to making Micheál Martin Taoiseach, the Grand Coalition, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens?
There was agreement that Micheál Martin and a negotiating team that he'll appoint will discuss a potential programme for government with smaller parties. So,
is there enthusiasm within the parliamentary party for going into government with Fine Gael?
Well, that was not discussed. What was discussed was...
How could you know? What were you doing for 4.5 hours if you didn't discuss that?
No, we discussed what we do next, which is whether we... Like, I think you're getting ahead of yourself, Katie. What we discussed was putting a negotiating team together and trying to achieve a programme of radical change.
So you discussed ruling out one party, but you had no discussion at all about what parties you were ruling in.
We discussed that every other party would be engaged with on a preliminary basis to see if a radical programme for government can be achieved.
And nobody voiced the view that, what are you talking about? Are you seriously talking about putting Fine Gael back into government? Nobody made that point.
What we're very serious about is delivering the radical change that this country needs in health, in housing, in costs of living, in childcare. And Fianna Fáil wants to lead a government that will deliver the change that I think people want. And that's what we're very serious about.
So you're quite open to going back into government with Fine Gael?
We're going to discuss initially with smaller parties. It's clear we'll need the cooperation of Fine Gael based on the current fragmentation of the political system. That's absolutely clear. But I think we have to, in the initial stages, actually agree a basis of policy with other parties and try and form the basis of a 5-year programme that will deliver the change that people expect from the political system.
The Social Democrats said that today, after their talks with your negotiating team, we had a cordial and respectful conversation, but our concern is it doesn't sound much like change.
Well, look, what I heard from people who were at that meeting was that there was an agreement that they'd have further meetings with the Social Democrats and others, but I respect the Social Democrats' view. We're going to engage with all other...
A lot of respect floating around here, but
All other parties. But look, we're a few days after a general election. We have a very fragmented political environment where there's no clear outcome in terms of government formation.
Let's try and make things clear.
And Fianna Fáil wants to play its role in forming a government to deliver the change I think people expect.
Okay, Bernard Durkin, does Fine Gael want to play its role in forming a government, the government people expect?
The Taoiseach has already said that in the course of the election, that in the event of there being a necessity to provide stable government, that we would consider the options that are available at the time, including supporting other parties or whatever. I think it's important to emphasise one thing. A lot of emphasis is on change. Nobody has specified exactly what the change should be, not only here but right across Europe at the present time. And while change can be important, it is important, it's also important that the change is for the better. And we don't know that. I would say that from what my assessment, my time in public life, the changes, if we proceed as set out in the various manifestos, will cost more than this economy is able to generate in terms of taxation. And that can only lead to tears. And there's going to be a time very, very soon when stability is going to be the issue. And if we don't have stability, then whatever government is formed, it will collapse. And I'm not so sure that we are going to survive that as an economy, because I believe that if we have a crash, an economic crash again, I believe it'll be semi-permanent. It won't be possible to drag the economy back onto firm and level ground, and even over a 10-year period, as in the case of the last.
So in the national interest, would you go into government with Fianna Fáil?
Well, the Taoiseach at the time, 4.5 years ago, offered all parties...
Let's move on to where we are now.
This is a continuation of where the Taoiseach offered all parties the opportunity of going in and participating in government because there was no other option. In the event of there being no other option, Fine Gael will support somebody from the opposition benches if necessary, and that's it, what has already been indicated.
But we don't know. But Danny, that's not what we're hearing. We've been told absolutely there will be no confidence
absolutely
and supply arrangement.
Absolutely, what I've been told from senior party members in your own party.
It need not be confidence supply.
Is that there will be absolutely no reverse confidence supply. There's no appetite for it. There's no justification for it. There's no reason for it, because it didn't work for your party, didn't work for Jack's party, didn't work for the country. The new politics arrangement since 2016 has been an unmitigated disaster. Major policy initiatives, major decisions have been long fingered, so therefore it cannot work. The only viable option left on the table is this so-called super grand coalition between Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. Now, what will be very interesting to hear from Nessa is whether or not the Greens have any appetite for such an arrangement.
Well, I was just going to come to it. Nessa Horrigan.
Well, look, I mean, we've said from the beginning that this is a policy decision for us, and I actually agree with Bernard that we need to start asking, like, and specifying what exactly it is, what is the change that we're asking for. And at the moment, we're at the stage where it's a game of Tetris of trying to add the Greens on to whatever other version of this people cobble together. And look, the numbers are clear that we will need two of the three parties, which are fairly evenly matched at the moment, to come together. And so, I mean, what we want to talk about is the process of negotiation and how we would actually reach consensus with whatever parties. And we have said we will talk to everybody, because I think that that's what's missing here in that game of Tetris, which is, how are we going to come? Is this going to be a closed door discussion where we go into a room and cook up this Fine Gael, this purported Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil grouping? And I'm not sure that will fly this time. And I think, you know, in some ways we're less uncomfortable with this situation. We're very cohesively joined with the other European Green parties, and we've seen them negotiate. Like, the Finnish Greens are in a coalition with five parties, and the way they do it is there's a real engagement with a programme for government before, so nothing is agreed until everything is agreed, and they, you know, separate things out into strands, and they really, they use, you know, government departments, they use the finance department to put costings on things. So, you know, I think that we should be talking about process more, because this is, to us, it seems, that, you know, the electorate hasn't... there's an implication here that the electorate somehow has got it wrong, or they don't know their own mind. And in fact, under PRSTV, that is not what has happened. The electorate has returned what they should... they do return in other European countries, which is in some way a fragmented group of parties. But if you're serious about their democratic mandate and you respect that process, you have to talk to everybody. And so let's get serious about the process.
What do you make of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael absolutely categorically ruling out talking to Sinn Féin in terms of the mandate that the Sinn Féin, the 37 Sinn Féin TDs, have come back to the Dáil with?
Well, I suppose from my perspective, it means that the discussion then is very much about the trajectory of the party and not the trajectory of the policies or the trajectory of the nation. Like, what is good for the nation? I mean, it's kind of a trope within the Green Party is, wouldn't it be great if the Greens didn't have to exist because other people were taking up the baton of the policies that we want to legislate around? And it shouldn't be around, it shouldn't be a matter of what will happen if we're on the opposition benches, what will happen if we're in government. It should be what we can do to make Ireland the best place to live in that we can. And I don't hear that this week.
I just text just in. I voted Green number one, and if they dare to prop up Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I will never vote for them.
Well,
again.
Can I tell you something? I have many, many emails this week, and about 50% of them are, don't go into government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and the other 50% are, do not go into government with Sinn Féin. It has to be about policy. It has to be about what's best for the country.
Another one here, Cian Devan tweeting, is change the new politics? Hashtag sick of it already.
But I mean, there's an interesting narrative that's been put forward by Sinn Féin that they won the election. I mean, they got 25% of the vote. No one has won the popular vote. No one got over 50%. So there has to be, that issue has to be challenged. And I was kind of surprised that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have sort of bought into that, have almost, like, you've had people like Thomas Byrne and Dara Bryan and Michael McGrath on the National Airways in recent days, conceding that point that Sinn Féin have won the popular vote. Now, maybe
we had a Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael represented in here the other night arguing about who won, who lost it most.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on what moment that the comment is made. I think at the start, in all fairness, on the Sunday at the count, was kind of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael almost like, oh, well, it's Sinn Féin's business now, you get the government together. And then when they did realise we started engaging, and maybe Fianna Fáil didn't have the great election they thought they'd be having, realised they need to crawl back in and try to take that power back. And I think it's almost ridiculous that here we have in the studio the Greens, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael discussing formations of government, discussing the outcome of the election and the policy differences and the policy commonalities, but they won't enter into a proper structured discussion with us in Leinster House.
We have a very clear our basis for it is that our enterprise and economic policies are completely apart.
But have the confidence to discuss it with us in Leinster House.
I mean, in your manifesto,
we have the confidence to engage with anybody at any place at any time and discuss the formation of a government, because it's important.
As Danny said, there's a hugely fragmented politics, and Sinn Féin did get 24% of the vote or whatever it was, but there's 76% who voted elsewhere. And if you look at, for example, 22 billion of taxation was being proposed, 22 billion of spending was being proposed in the Sinn Féin manifesto. That's a hugely different...
Jeff Chambers, haven't we? We've had... Go back 40 years and you can look at two different manifestos for two parties that went into an election, and they were quite capable of putting together a programme for government.
Well, look, Jack's approach, we wouldn't talk to anybody at any time. We don't have to talk to our friends.
We're going to talk to every... We've made a democratic decision as a party that we're going to talk to all smaller parties.
Nearly every party, but not the biggest party.
Can I put to Bernard Durkin? If Fine Gael were able to resolve policy difference with the Democratic left, surely to God, this is not beyond the wit of your party to resolve, to put together some platform.
People say about the vast difference in policies. There were a lot of common policies between the Democratic left, because Labour, we'd been in government with Labour a short time beforehand, and there was a drift of policies towards each other, towards the centre, as it were. And it was necessary in order to provide the country with the government at the time. So I wasn't surprised that we were able to coalesce with the Democratic left at that particular time. And consequently, most of them became members of the Labour Party.
The issue
now is this. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is the big one. And where we go on this particular government, whatever that government is, that's going to leave an indelible mark on the economy of this country, the social life of this country, and the entire country will look back and say, well, we did a good job, or we made a mistake.
Well, can
and
I
when
put
I
you,
say
yes.
that, I say change, and I go back to change. Change means one or two things. We've had it in the United States, in the UK, we've had it in several European countries. And change is not due to Europe. Europe has changed in the past. But it wasn't always for the better. And I am very worried about where we might go.
Can I just put that to you? If, and we've heard this was said all the way through, and particularly in that last week of that election campaign, from Fine Gael, from Fianna Fáil, that, you know, if Sinn Féin goes into government and puts in place their economic policies, their taxation and spend policies, that they're going to break the economy, they're going to turn the country into Venezuela. This is going to be an absolute disaster that we'll be picking up the pieces for decades. If you really believe that, is it not absolutely incumbent on you to put a stop to it?
Are
you just going to sit back and say, sure, let them off, let's see how they make, how big a mess they make?
I included more than Sinn Féin in the economic proposals that were laid before the people. Because there's a tendency now to presume that, you know, the country is economy is going well, so we can now spend. We cannot spend any more than the economy can generate. That's the first thing. If we go beyond that...
Will you answer that question, Sri? Are you not... Is it not incumbent upon you to take responsibility and to do everything in your power?
Well, we did that during the election itself. We tried everything in our power during the course of the election.
And now you're saying, sure, we'll head off to the opposition benches.
Well,
let them
I'm not saying anything.
We're not saying that.
I'm saying that in the event of there being no other option, we will see what can be done, what we can do to provide stable government. I don't know that we can. I don't know that we can. But the other option is that we have another general election. And the theory is that, you know, that in another general election, that Sinn Féin will gain more seats. And if that be the case, this is democracy, so be it. I don't think that's going to be the case. But the point about it is this, that if we don't get real and recognise that the stakes are high here, this is not a campaign to change political the structures of this country from the left to the right, and to take Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael away from the alleged monopoly controlling over the last X number of years, and talk about civil war politics. Look, it's not so long since we had a war on the island of Ireland, another civil war.
But Barnard,
and when we go on to civil war politics, and this was one of the things that was tossed out to us during the course of the last 6 months, many, many times. And whenever that came about, I have to ask myself the question, where are we going now? Are we going to, for instance, are we going to have a government put in place where somebody decides to pull the plug at a sensitive moment when there are discussions taking place in relation to the trade agreement, whatever the case that we have to have with the European Union?
Well, because in all fairness,
Brexit hasn't gone away, you know. Everybody said Brexit is on. It's not gone away. So let me just finish.
Barry, now you've had a very good
run. Sorry,
Barry, this isn't the Bernard show, in all fairness. But the thing is, when people spoke to us about change on the doorstep, I was surprised at the level and the depth of knowledge people wanted about change. Housing, they want to change. Healthcare, childcare, climate change. And people were very tuned in to the policies. One of the things, two things, with all due respect, can I finish, please? That the two things was they were very, very... They were very, very engaged with us and they wanted change and they were very detailed. I was asked on a number of occasions our position on paying conditions for defence forces, building houses, tackling the childcare crisis, tackling the healthcare crisis.
And your answer is to give...
And we gave the answer.
Something for everybody in the audience. Like.
And that mandate is to bring about that
change. You didn't sign up to the consensus on climate action,
rather than just saying poo-pooing change, as Bernard does, we need to look at it, we need to respect it, and we need to make it happen. I think ignoring us is not the solution.
That people should act like children in a wheat shop.
No, absolutely not. Don't patronise the people who voted for us. They're intelligent people. We produced a manifesto, a detailed manifesto. What we didn't promise was that we wouldn't engage with all other political parties in an ability to
put a
government.
What about climate action? You didn't sign up to the
climate
action.
What we were saying is...
You're denying climate science around carbon tax.
No, Jack, you can have your right to respond in a minute. But people voted for us and they were quite engaged with us. And I think we'll all agree it's a very energised campaign. Our job now is not to rerun the campaign. We have our manifestos, put them on the table. Let's negotiate a government that delivers that for people.
Do you not have to acknowledge that we're dealing with a very, very volatile electorate at the moment? Like last May... People were asking you for change last May,
I'll respond to that in detail.
Election.
When we went knocking on the doors, the thing that struck us was people were very energised waiting for this election. They were not tuned into the local election because local government was perceived as weak. They were not interested
You're
in the local
defund
government.
Defund local government.
And what's that? You're
going to defund local.
And what we want to do is put strengthen local government. But in specifically this general election...
Are you not going to abolish property taxes?
No, hold on. We're absolutely committed to getting rid of property tax and fully funding local government property. We were committed to reducing the property tax by 15%, which we did when we were the largest party in Dublin City Council, and we continued to deliver a budget. And we delivered a budget surplus year on year and managed to deliver 1.5 million.
Do you not recognise the great hypocrisy of your look?
I sat out in
Fingal County Council because it was the same day that the nominations for the presidency were being heard, and it was the day the Fingal County Council made its decision on the property tax for the next year. And one hour, you had Sinn Féin councillors giving out about the lack of services for homelessness, emergency services, all that kind of stuff. And then 90 minutes later, the very same Sinn Féin councillors were voting to reduce the property tax. It was hypocrisy of the highest order, because Paul Reid, the then county manager, said, if you defund this or if you reduce down this level, what you're hitting is homelessness services. What you're hitting is the services for the weakest and the most marginalised in the community. Nothing else.
And it's a progressive tax. Like it's taxing people who are lucky. Like I own my own home and I feel incredibly lucky to do so. And I'm happy to pay a tax to make sure that people who are homeless or people who are vulnerable have some extra services. It's a progressive tax. And Sinn Féin and the parties on the left in Ireland, some of them, are some of the few parties in Europe who don't believe in that progressive tax.
It is an extraordinary position for a party of the left to be against a tax on an asset.
In a local property tax, we were committed to cutting it by 15%. It was in our manifesto. We did it. Year on year, we delivered a budget for Dublin City of €1 billion, and we delivered it with a budget surplus.
Homelessness rose by 500%.
That was certainly not Dublin City Council's fault. It was with lack of funding coming from the Department of Housing, bearing every initiative to build homes and the bureaucracy, the procurement process, which you're well aware of.
Clearly,
And also, you were ingratiating yourself with the electorate in order to use their vote. We lost our seats. We still stood over our policy in relation to the homeless, the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive. Their funding comes centrally from the Department of Housing. The amount of funding that we would have affected by the reduction of local property tax is a drop in the ocean. We shouldn't be comparing.
It's 12 million. 12 million.
Okay, Dahi, you have enough. I just want to ask Dahi, because there's a profound hypocrisy. So in your manifesto, Dahi, you're against the carbon tax. Is that right?
Absolutely. We shouldn't be putting another tax burden on struggling families.
But you're not for abolishing it. Well, you're willing to spend it, but you're not for abolishing it. So why aren't you consistent the whole way through?
We're very, very clear.
So you're willing to spend the existing project. So your TDs in the last stall were shouting up and down about the cross-party consensus report on climate action, but in your manifesto, you weren't willing to abolish what you opposed. And now you're being a populist around any increase for it, which is denying climate science. No, but see, these are the profound questions for Sinn Féin. It's pure populism.
I'm responding to it. You may not like or agree with my responses, but don't rubbish them and say they're populist.
I'm not rubbish.
When we went in front of the people, we got more votes than any other party around the table, not through populism, through hard work, commitment, representation, rolling up our sleeves.
What about the carbon tax question?
And making $20 billion worth of promises.
What we're saying is they're costed. We want to deliver them. We want to work with others to deliver them. We're quite willing to work with, negotiate with other parties to deliver it. What we're hearing here is, on my right, people saying, let's debate in the studio, let's argue in the studio, but let's not negotiate a problem.
But see, you haven't answered the
question.
But see, what about the carbon tax?
The question you didn't have to answer is this. Will our policies, if pursued, sink the country below the gunnels again?
I would argue,
the answer to that question is simply yes.
I would argue
and the
not.
Position, and the position of the position is
stand over them.
It's all very fine to appeal to the public, say we're going to cut, we're going to raise taxes elsewhere. It won't affect you, and you're going to be the beneficiary. That's deceiving
but
the
these
people. And
here's the crunch.
Here's the crunch.
Okay, can we one
moment.
Voice?
The crunch
please,
is this.
Voice.
The crunch is this. The public, a volatile public. Very dangerous playing with the volatilities of society at this particular time. And if the people are disappointed and they find that these billions that have been promised to be put in their pockets doesn't happen, then the people are going to get angry. We're going to have society.
Bernard, you're going to have to put you. The people are angry already, and they're angry because of the policies. Well,
one
of
the
questions, we didn't play a major role in restoring the country's economy
when it was in tatters, dragging it out of the abyss when nobody wanted to do it. Everybody ran away, and nobody wanted to take responsibility. And Fine Gael and Labour together took that responsibility. In fact,
didn't Fianna Fáil stand by ye and support ye in that?
We did it alone. The Labour Party and ourselves did it on our own, and we were under sustained criticism from all the people in the opposite benches.
Fianna Fáil started the process of, with the Greens, in fact, of trying to promote the economic recovery. Brian Lennon, as finance minister, you had three budgets.
None of which touched the hot spots and the incoming
that's
government.
Not true.
Well, that is true. Unfortunately, I was there.
I think any analysis, I'm sure, would say that the Brian Lennon budgets were the beginning of.
Can we look to the future, Rod?
2007.
Okay, let's look at the future. Text in here. Is Fianna Fáil crazy? It spends 4 years trying to convince the public that it was not propping up Fine Gael and not the same as Fine Gael. And after an election which saw Fine Gael booted out of office, Fianna Fáil thinks it's a good idea to go into government with the Fine Gael, which the public clearly does not want. Nuts.
Well, no, we're speaking to smaller parties. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael together doesn't represent a majority in the Dáil.
No, so the Greens, you do. You get 85 seats.
So what we're doing?
Stop adding the Greens in.
So what we're doing?
Just going to top up the pint.
What we're doing? What we're doing?
I was going to ask you that.
We want to deliver the radical change in housing and health that I think the public expect, and that'll be the metric of the next government if one is formed, and it will be a difficult process.
The public doesn't believe the people to do that.
We've a mandate. We received 30. We didn't win as many seats as we'd hoped, and we lost some, but we still got 38 seats. We've, as I said, a very fragmented political picture, and forming a government will not be easy, and it may not happen, and we may have another general election. That's all a possibility. But we want to take a leadership role in trying to resolve the issues. That's why we're all in politics.
Does this not just smack of like desperation from Micheál Martin that, you know, this is his last chance of becoming Taoiseach? Okay. And look, I am absolutely amazed that not one person in your party got up today and echoed the sort of argument from your councillors that there should at least be an examination of Micheál Martin's leadership. I mean, like, he's there in office 9 years. He's lost two elections so far. You could essentially argue he lost this third one. And not one person thinks he should go. Look,
no, I think
the
parliamentary party believes he can actually deliver the change that people expect.
Micheál Martin is in politics 31 years.
Taoiseach.
He's not an agent for change.
He wants to deliver. And actually, our message in this election was around delivering across health and housing and climate action and other areas of policy. And he wants to mould a programme for government that will see that delivered. But look, we're at an early stage. We're a few days post the election. We want to negotiate on policy with other parties so that we deliver the radical change people expect from this Dáil.
OK, we have a tweeter saying, it looks like Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens are already in coalition in your studio. I'll give you a chance to respond to that, Ness, in a moment.
The green blue keeping
and
them both together.
This time next year, when Brexit bites and everything in this country gets more expensive, those who are in
That's
government
correct.
May well wish they weren't.
That's right.
Nessa, what do you have a preference when you're setting out? I know you're saying you're going to, it's going to be totally policy based and you're going to go and talk to everybody.
We really don't. I cannot.
Would you not
say
look at
enough.
The records of the parties that you're going to be talking to and think, okay, let's see who might be best trusted to deliver on the issues that you absolutely
honestly
feel must
all
be
three
delivered.
Of the larger parties have pros and cons. There are things like housing, which we would kind of agree with some of the Sinn Féin manifesto. Certainly, we don't agree with them with the narrowing of the tax base. There are a number of issues where you could kind of align with different parties, but our overarching reason for existing is climate action, and all three parties fail pretty dismally on that issue. And that issue, the climate crisis will affect housing, it will affect health, it will affect, you know, education and childcare and all of those things. In the next decade, we know that the EU is going to craft a Green New Deal, and any funds that we think that we're going to be getting for things like housing or kind of general infrastructural funds are going to be built around our ability to mitigate and adapt to climate change. And so, you know, we just don't feel that the policy focus is there from those three parties, and you know, there's going to have to be a lot of work. And this thing of kind of adding us in as we've been described as a kingmaker or a bridge or an emollient, I mean, that is just not going to fly.
Well, and it may not even be actually quite very accurate, because surely there you must have members in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael down the country who would be deeply concerned about what kind of policy platform the Greens would, or the red lines the Greens would demand.
Can I just say, we signed up to the cross-party consensus on climate action, which the Greens also subscribe to, and we've significant common ground across climate action. If you take energy, for example, we want to see the foreshore maritime bill prioritised to massively scale up offshore wind energy. We want to electrify our public transport system and focus investment there. We're fully in agreement with the Greens on retrofitting and having a pay-as-you-save mechanism. So we have lots of...
What about policies relating to agriculture? What about policies relating to agriculture?
Well, look, there's obviously some disagreement there,
but there's also agreement,
for example, and we want to scale up our afforestation targets. For example, if you look at Foodwise 2025,
we need to double.
If we accept that you have a lot of common ground, but I'm saying that there will be members of Fianna Fáil. You represent a lot of farmers, as do Fine Gael.
We were in government
around the country.
We were in government previously with the Greens for 4 years, so
I don't think we were talking about calling the national herd when you were last in government with the Greens.
But if
I'm not sure that was a very happy experience.
I was on different panels with Eamon Ryan and others regarding climate policies, and the Greens' position on agriculture, I don't want to, Nasa can explain it more, but it's about diversifying agriculture and improving farm incomes. So there's a lot of common ground in actually improving farmers' incomes and diversifying land use. And that's something
that will be part of the new common agricultural policy,
and a lot of farmers, the farming organisations accept this at the Climate Action Committee, will involve diversification of land use and paying farmers for biodiversity and other measures to actually improve our targets around climate action. And I think farmers want to be the custodians of our land use and are accepting of that focus. So I think we need, there's a lot of common ground, and I think there's huge scope for agreement.
I think that Richard Bruton's policy in relation to land use and the environment in general is the most progressive and has been recognised to be the most progressive in Europe. It will achieve considerable change.
Has it, Nessa?
No, I mean, look, we have absolutely failed on every emissions commitment that we have made, and we desperately need a new land management plan, and Fine Gael created Ireland 2040, which has absolutely no carbon budgeting included.
That's not true at all. In actual fact, we were the first people to go in that direction, and the policy that we've produced now is a comprehensive policy
that you haven't implemented any policy, where you can achieve
the results that are required, and bringing alongside that the need to allow industry, the agricultural, agri-food sector, to continue in operation. Now, we can do it the other way. We can dismember the whole thing. and bring it down to nothing. And we will still make only a small, a minute change in the overall in the overall reduction of cabins, which you have to go about.
Sorry,
and don't
that
forget
is,
this.
No. Okay. We have to challenge that. That is a really toxic thing to say. You cannot say that.
We cannot pursue the kind of ridiculous policies that have been suggested. For instance, like car sharing, one car for 300 people.
Nobody said that. You should try real policies before you criticise them. Nobody said that.
It was said by your leader, in fact.
No, he did not say that.
And retaining wolves, bringing back repopulating the forest with wolves.
And my theory about that is that the wolves will descend
on the unfortunate people waiting to share the car. But I want to say this. If we think, and we get into the situation where we think that we've got to change the environment completely by the sacrifices that we make here, we won't. But we have to do
that's
our share.
That's climate denial. I am sorry. I was talking about climate change
before you did. And the fact of the matter
is that the
Green Party refused to accept that there is any life after climate change. So we reduce everything.
That's the point.
From the centre of the city, you decide to tell the whole general masses of the people throughout the country, look, you're going to have to change. Sorry about your job. Sorry about the quality of life you had. Sorry about jobs in this country. Maybe you should think about immigrating. But that's where we're heading.
Well, that's why we have a just transition, Bernard. That's why we have a just transition fund the regions so that they transition away from jobs.
We accept that. Now, we just let Nessa in.
To respond to that very interesting take.
No, that is a really dangerous and toxic line to take. And you see it happening in Australia by a very right-wing government who have absolutely also failed to act on climate and their country is on fire.
I just want to explain to me which when you say that, you mean the idea that no matter what we do, it won't make much of a difference anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Because every single person, Ireland per person is the fourth highest emitter of carbon in the world. So we have a serious responsibility to be leaders here. And it's really important. It's really important that we fess up to it, that we take leadership here. Look, we all understand the idea of collective action, right? We join trade unions and we come together as communities. That works on a neighbourhood scale, that works on a street, that works in your local government, and that works at national level, at the EU level and internationally. And we have to do our part. And we also understand the idea of ethics.
That's correct.
I don't drop litter on the ground, even if there's nobody on the street, because I know it to be wrong, right? So we need to take responsibility on that level also. There is just transition. There is a way of doing this so that it's the best, the cheapest, the fairest way of living, and it delivers real social justice to people. This year alone, we're going to be paying 225 million in carbon emission fines, and over the next 10 years, 7 billion. That is going to affect the way people live. That is going to affect how we spend money on our healthcare, on our childcare, and there are no jobs on a dead planet.
We need to take a break. Okay. We will return to this after these.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. Getting more texts in there. I'm sick of people treating Fine Gael as some sort of pariah. We have full employment and a booming economy. Does that mean nothing? There you are, Bernard.
That's what I said about change.
Can I put to you what Lucinda Creighton tweeted today? A grand coalition would sound the death knell of at least one and possibly both of the parties formerly known as the two main political parties in the state. A difficult position for both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Ideal scenario for Sinn Féin. That must be on your mind in terms of whatever decision is made with the numbers that
it has already been indicated by various parties of the left, some of the extreme left, that this is an opportunity that is eagerly awaited by all and sundry throughout the country. I would say the opposite, that the amalgamation of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and that it will be open then to variations of the left to come forward with more and more left-wing policies. I'm not a socialist, but I'm in favour of social justice, and I have always been in favour of social justice, and I would regard myself as left of centre. But there's left and left. And what I'm saying is this, And we are obviously concerned.
What you're not doing is answering my question, Bernard.
Well, I am answering your question.
I'm saying it's out of consideration.
I'm not answering it in the way that you want me to answer, but that's a different thing.
No, but I'm asking. But the answer is it a consideration in terms of what you do next, your next steps here, that could be the finish of Fine Gael?
Well, I would like to think that it wouldn't be the finish. But what I would say that if, for instance, all the left-leaning parties want this to happen, well, there's obviously some reason that they want it to happen. So I'm saying, well, why do you have to have that? Why is that a precondition? And what I'm saying is this, that I think that, you know, and we come back to the economy and the benefit, the country, and the reason for change. Reason for change has to be for the positive reasons. If change comes about,
okay,
you
have made this point a number of times.
Well, it needs to be made again.
I think it needs to be made again during the course of the election that
when people look back on this era in a few years' time, they'll say, we may have
why
made
didn't
a
we listen to Bernard Durkin?
Well, they will have long forgotten about him.
time and time again, and we never listened. We might do when he's Count Corlo next week, like so.
Are you in for the Count Corlo job, Bernard?
They keep it's the only way they can silence him.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Now I can assure you. But if everybody
you'd
else
explode,
is going to
you wouldn't be able to debate.
I would find it very hard to remain silent. Okay.
Are you putting your name forward, Bernard?
I might consider it. I have to consult the party, obviously.
This is the launch of the campaign.
I don't want to be the only one supporting me, for instance.
you were nearly there the last time, as far as I remember. You were very close. Versus the last Count Corlo.
Last Count Corlo.
You were very close, yeah.
Okay, we'll watch this space. We'll have to have you in if that's...
The Late Debate won his campaign.
There are
have the point you were making. Jack Chambers, that line that it would be the death knell of the two parties.
There's been lots of commentators predict the death knell in the Fianna Fáil party before, and I think, people can
have
their
view. But
it
would become very difficult to sustain any semblance
I don't agree. I think the next government has to deliver, and I think that'll be the metric in 5 years' time if a government is formed. And it's a government that will be more than Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Let's remember that. It will be a collection of others too.
Well, not necessarily.
So the next government will be judged like every government is judged on, and the parties or collection of independents is what they did for the people over a 5 year period, and whether they improved things in terms of the key issues in health and housing and cost of living. That'll be the metric, whether the parties do better than this time or the last time, and that's the measure of all politicians regardless of who they're in with.
Danny.
Yeah. I think Micheál Martin has two unpalatable choices to choose between. He either has a choice of doing a deal with the old enemy in Fine Gael.
Also you'd have to have a parliamentary party and party backing for that. Yeah. Would you need an Ardèche?
There will be. Yeah, that was discussed today. And if there is any programme for government agreed, it will have to be agreed by the Fianna Fáil members.
That would be some policy to get through.
Well, it certainly would. But the more unpalatable choice, I think, would be, you know, given the fact that the parties are virtually neck and neck in the Dáil, does Micheál Martin become the Fianna Fáil leader that, you know, accedes to Mary Lou becoming Taoiseach? Because I'm sure one of the demands that Sinn Féin would be a rotating Taoiseach in the 50-50 split of cabinet. And does Micheál Martin want that to be his enduring legacy? I wouldn't bet my life on it.
Ross,
anyway.
I think this is not about Sinn Féin or Fianna Fáil. It's about the people we represent and knocking on the doors, the hundreds and thousands of doors that we all knocked on. People are crying out for change in healthcare, housing, climate change, etc. It's not about legacies. It's not about who's in and who's out. We want to be in government. We want to negotiate with other parties. We have to form a coalition. We're up for it. The question is, are other parties
up for it?
That's
just naive, though.
I didn't cut across you, in all fairness. Maybe just let me finish my sentence. You can respond
then. In all fairness,
I didn't cut across you. So we want to get into government to do that. But if we can't get into government, so be it, and we take it on the chin. And no party should be worried about us in opposition or in government. That's not what politics should be boiled down to. The people I represent, and the Cherry Archers, the Drimnas, the Ballyfermots, the Crumlins, it's about delivering for these people. Mm-hmm. It's about making sure their quality of life improves. They have a home to go home to, a job to get up to, an environment that they can look forward to and enjoy. It's not about legacies or egos. It's about working together to deliver that. And that's, we're up for it. The question is, are the two colleagues to my right, are they up for it?
Okay, here's a text. I'm sick to the teeth of listening to you all, and I think you should learn to listen to one another. That is the biggest change you can all affect right now. Stop talking over each other, listen to each other, and have a bit more respect for the electorate. Across the water today, Boris Johnson had a reshuffle, and shock firing of the Northern Secretary, Julian Smith. Brexit, there's worrying, you know, mood music coming out of Downing Street on Brexit. There's the coronavirus out there. You know, what do we do if we have confirmed case in this country? The world is moving on. Mm-hmm. Like, how long can you really accept the public's patience, expect the public's patience for these talks? And it just seems to be, oh, that'll happen. It'll be next week before we get to that. And, you know, we have to talk to these five people first. I mean, surely we're all adults here. We all can count. And it's not as complicated as it looks. There are really very limited options. So can we just move on to those options?
But the big pictures you point out, they're happening. But also daily life in Dublin is carrying on. Daily life in Ireland is carrying on. We need to rise to meet that challenge. I mean, homelessness still remains to be tackled. Homes need to be built. The healthcare needs to be fixed. There are things that are pertinent right now.
That's why we had a parliamentary party meeting today, why we've come to a collective position and why a negotiating team will be appointed. And we want to bring urgency to the issues in health and housing.
But you didn't even discuss whether or not you'd go into an arrangement with Fine Gael. Over four and a half hours of a parliamentary party meeting.
We said we'd discuss with all parties, with the exception of Sinn Féin. That was the agreed position. And we will. And we'll meet again if there's agreement after negotiation. But we want to show urgency and deliver the radical change across those issues.
Nessa, what kind of a timeline are you looking at in terms of getting in inside the door with all these people and having these talks?
Look, it's hard to know, and I think that we need to be careful here that 3 months was the time that it took the last time, I believe. And we would like a fairly well developed programme for government, and that it would be quite granular in what it would set out. And I think that that's worth doing and worth being careful around. I wouldn't want to see it be extended for you know, a considerable amount of time. We saw the damage that it did when power sharing fell apart in the north and their healthcare system almost fell apart itself. So I think there is a fine line there that you don't rush in terms of just, you know, crunching numbers and rushing into something, but also that, you know, we have to protect the state, and particularly with Brexit starting in March, I think that there is an urgency there.
Well, you're on the policy drafting committee
haven't set out like who negotiates or anything like that yet.
Yeah. But surely you have your policy pretty much nailed down at this stage. You know what you want. You know what you need out of each.
We do indeed.
Out of each cabinet, but like every ministry, you will obviously have to take into account green.
It does, except that getting to the 7.6% reduction in emissions is actually really, really complex. And so we're following the Danish model, where it's actually quite hard to set out in a strata every year how you're going to achieve that. And so there's a certain amount of kind of give and take. And to stitch that into everything, including housing and energy, is actually quite complex. So once you bring that up then in comparative analysis with other people's policies, that is granular. That is a complex process.
And who are you meeting?
Well, we're talking to everybody.
No, but I mean, who have you met and who's next?
Okay, so let me see. On Wednesday, we met with Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. Mm-hmm. I think yesterday it was the Sock Dems. And I think today or tomorrow it is Solidarity, PPP. And Labour was yesterday as well, although obviously they had other things going on.
And are these talks going through the weekend?
I couldn't tell you, actually. I don't know that.
Do you know if talks are continuing into this weekend?
A negotiating team will be appointed and then talks will continue, I assume, through the weekend. Yeah, but the intention is to accelerate the talks.
Would you like to be on the negotiating team?
That's a matter for the party leader.
I didn't say, were you going to be? I said, would you like to be?
Look, I'm willing to serve in any capacity.
Bernard, the idea of the timeline here and the kind of the sense that, look, you know, these things take time. I mean, surely there is a lack of urgency around moving to a place where we can at least, you know.
We've got to get it right. I think it's important for the country.
We've got to get it right, though.
I think we have to. But if we get it wrong, then we have another general election, so we have got to get it right. And I think whatever talks are to take place, they need to take place. If we have to exhaust them and there's no agreement, then let's do that. But the point is this: we cannot remain in the same position that we are, because we had other countries throughout the European Union that have had periods of up to a year with no government following a general election. And we can't have that because our economy is different to most others because it's an open economy. It's dependent on trade with the outside world. And now we have the added complexities arising from Brexit and the new trade arrangement, whatever it may be.
Any idea of a timeline here for when you might conclude and decide, you know, what you can?
We've had a round of engagements. We look forward to meeting the Greens again. We were engaging Sunday night. Phone calls were made, to my knowledge. And we want to engage with the we've written to Micheál Martin. We want to meet with Micheál Martin. There is a sense of urgency. We want to get this right. We have a negotiating team and we're used to negotiations.
Okay,
and we're up for it.
I have to go to another break. We'll take a break there now.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannon on RTE Radio 1.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for. Just time for one headline from RTE News online this evening. Michael Lowry is quoted as saying that Mary Lou MacDonald will be elected Taoiseach on Thursday, I think. So there is the Tipperary Independent TD soothsayer. So we'll see how that works out.
Some people do anything for a headline.
I want to thank my panel for joining us tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. Tonight's programme was produced by Regina Henley. Research was by A.B. Philbin-Bowman. The broadcast coordinator was Andrew DePoyer. And Tommy Sullivan was on sound. And now it's over to Fiacna Ní Briain on Late Date.